If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This week we're continuing our series titled Transformed. It's a series that, again, as I mentioned, goes hand in hand with our life groups. And it's taking us through seven key areas that we hope to be transformed in our lives. Last week, if you were here, we took a look at the story of the prodigal son. As we walked through Luke. I forget now, I'm blanking here, but we talked about being transformed in our spiritual lives. And this week, we're going to take a look at a very popular psalm. Okay, this was, other than John 3:16, this was like the first full chapter I learned, Psalm 23. I won a blue ribbon back in first grade for a scripture memory contest, you know, and I remember Psalm 23 well, and it's a well-known scripture. But we're going to use this as we focus on being transformed in our physical lives. So last week was our spiritual lives. Today is our physical lives. And the big question here is, does God really care about our physical lives? Does God care about our physical health? Does He care about our bodies? And the answer is yes. I want to read a scripture to you. I forgot to give it to I forgot to have it to be put up on the screen here. So either you can jump to it real quick, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, or you can just listen. But this is what it says. It says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Our bodies are the temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells in here. And so we need to take care of our bodies. God cares both about our spiritual lives and He cares about our physical lives. Now, I have to admit, this is one of those ones that has been very challenging for me, okay, if you haven't noticed, all right? I struggle with this aspect at times in my life. I haven't always taken my physical health seriously, especially the things I put in my mouth. My wife, you know, she just is like, seriously, more sugar? Seriously, more salt? All right, you know? I don't always take care and think about the things that I put in my body, or at least I didn't as much. But lately, God's really been challenging me in this area because I'm realizing more and more that God desires for us to be healthy spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. It's the whole of who He wants us to be. And if we're lacking in any of these areas, it can potentially take away from our effectiveness as lights that shine bright for Him. Let me just give you even a personal example. You see, when I'm in bed with a bad back because I failed to do my back exercises, it pulls me out of some of the ministry that God has for me. It takes me away from what He's called me to do. Now, I'm going to say this, you know, we all get sick, we all have accidents where we experience back pain, different things, so that's not what I'm talking about here, but I'm talking about things in our life where we know that we need to do better, we know that we need to do this, and those things keep us and hinder us at times from really letting our light shine. You see, when we fail to take care of our physical health, and it keeps us from being effective to the Lord, we're not doing what God's called us to do. And so it's the whole body that God cares about. Now, there's all different directions that we could go this morning in talking about physical transformation, talking about our physical health. You know, we could talk about the need for regular exercise. I really believe that's something God's challenged me. I'm still not doing as well as I should, but that's something that we all need. We all need physical exercise in some way, regular exercise. You know, we could talk about the things that we put into our bodies because I'm realizing more and more that's important, okay? If our diet consists of Big Macs and Twinkies, we're going to see a big difference in our health compared to the person, you know, that's eating grilled chicken and vegetables, right? You're going to see. Now, I'm not saying you got to eat grilled chicken and vegetables. I'm just saying that it's important that we do think about what we put in our bodies. Exercise and eating right is important. And so this is what I'm going to give to you this morning. You go home and you pray about what God's telling you when it comes to exercise and what you put in your body, all right? You pray about that. You seek the Lord. Allow Him to speak to you. And let me tell you, He will, because He has to me, and I haven't been as faithful in those areas as I should. But this morning, I'm going to approach our physical health from a kind of a different perspective. I'm not going to talk about exercising and eating right. I want to talk this morning about something that we all know about, something called stress. Right? Stress. What? What are you talking about? Because the fact is, stress can play a big part in our physical health. Oftentimes, we can suffer physical pain and trauma just due to stress in our lives. Stress can play a big role in our physical health. Now, the thing is, stress isn't always bad. God created stress for certain reasons in our body, okay? You see, when you feel threatened, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, whether it's emotionally, or even spiritually, a stress reaction occurs in your body, okay? So things happen. Your blood pressure begins to go up. Your pulse quickens. Adrenaline shoots into your body. And all kinds of other physiological effects take place, and I can't even fully explain them to you. Google it if you want to know, okay? But if you're in a dangerous situation, this is a good thing, okay? Because your body relaxes and the adrenaline pushes through you and helps you respond in situations when you need to. Let me just give some examples. You're standing there, right? You're talking, and your little child, your little toddler begins to run out in the road when a car is coming. The stress, as you see that, causes the adrenaline to act, and you reach and you grab them by the back and you just pull them out of the street, right? And that's a good thing. Or maybe you're driving down the road and all of a sudden a deer comes out in front of you. Whoa, have you ever had that happen? You slam, right, the adrenaline to slam on the brakes. And thankfully, just barely total your car instead of totaling your family, all right? But in those circumstances, at these kind of times, we want to experience that stress response. That stress is a good thing because it causes us to react and be able to do something. But after you do that, what happens? You're kind of like, you know, afterwards you're, oh, wow. Oh, you know, it was a good thing that it happened, but you can tell that it did something to your body. The problem is when we allow that to happen all the time, when we walk around with that chronic stress where we're constantly, the blood pressure's rising, we're constantly having that adrenaline, we're constantly experiencing that stress in our body, when we get stuck in that stress response mode, it can be devastating to our physical health. It can actually kill you. As I was I'm like, whoa, wow. I don't get stressed as a pastor. So if we want to be people who are physically healthy, I think we have to deal with stress in our life. How do we become people who are less stressed? Now, the good thing for us is that God gives us, I think, some answers in His Word about how to deal with stress. And this morning I want to share with you six things that I think are some of the leading causes of stress in today's world, all right? I'm going to have to go through these fast. I'm sorry, halfway through this, I realized this could be a two-week series, and I'm thinking, but it won't work for our life groups, you know, like let's, can we stretch our life group into 2 weeks here? It wouldn't work, so I'm gonna fly through these here as fast as I can this morning, all right? So we're in high gear, but we're going to talk about six things, and then what we're going to do when we talk about those six stresses, we're going to use Psalm 23 and see what solution the Scripture gives us to then help us deal with those stresses in our life, all right? So let's start with one of the big ones, worry. Any of us have worry in our lives? Any of us experience worry? Worry is a huge cause of stress in people's lives. And I think one of the reasons that this is such a big one in today's world is because there's so much more to worry about now than there was back in certain people's times. Okay, I won't mention anybody in this church. All right? But, you know, Even myself, when I was younger, you know, the stresses, there's so much more to worry about than there used to be. We live in a complex world, and there seems to be new things to worry about around every corner, right? Are we worriers? Do we allow worry to be something that often brings stress into our lives? If so, how do we deal with that worry in our life? Well, I want to start by reading the very first verse of Psalm 23. This is what it says. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. One of the solutions to overcoming stress in our life is we need to look to God to meet our needs. We need to look to God to meet our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Or in other words, I shall not be in need. God will take care of us. We can look to Him. When we come to understand this, and then go beyond that, when we understand this and actually believe it, I can guarantee you it will totally change your lives. Now, why is this? Well, I think it's because we stop looking to other people or things to meet our needs. That's what causes the worry and stress, right? If we can come to the place where we stop looking to our spouse, or we stop looking to our boyfriend or our girlfriend, or we stop looking to our parents, or we stop looking to, you know, our brothers or sisters or our friends to meet our needs, if we stop looking to other people to meet our needs, then I think our stress would decrease dramatically. Because the reality is, people will fail us. And we have to stop putting our security in things that fail us, because that's what causes the stress. When things fail, the stress occurs. And it's not just people. Sometimes we put our security in things like our jobs, right? But we all know people lose their jobs, especially in today's economy. You know, sometimes we put our security in money, right? And we all know there are a lot of ways for us to lose our money. We can't put our security in anything that can fail us, because it's just going to ultimately bring more stress upon our lives. We have to put our security in something that's fail-proof. And the reality is, there's only one person who's fail-proof, and that's God. He is our shepherd, and David tells us in verse 1, we won't be in want. Whatever our needs are, He'll take care of them. We have to believe that. Romans 8:32 says this: since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? I mean, think about that. If God loved us enough to send His Son Jesus to die on the cross for us, don't you think He loves us enough to take care then of the rest of our needs? You see, the first step of overcoming the stress of worry in our lives is we have to look to God. He's the one that meets our needs. He's the only one that can meet our spiritual, our emotional, our mental, our physical needs. He's the only one that can meet all of those at once. And He will not fail us. He is the answer. And when we're feeling stressed, we have to start by just looking to Him. Let Him be your shepherd. Let Him take care of you. The next big stress that we deal with today, I think, is the pace of life. Right? It just seems like the world we live in is getting faster and faster and faster. You know, we live in what I refer to now, a lot of people used to say microwave society, we live in what I refer today as an internet society, right? We want things now. You know, I remember being in a conversation with someone, and we were talking about, hey, I wonder what, and they're like, if you have an iPhone, you don't have to wonder. You know, and they pull out and they start looking it up, you know. We want things instantly. We want, we don't want to wait for things. It's always go, go, go. And this hurried pace is a big cause of much of the stress that we deal with in this life. You know, so how do we deal with the pace of life? How do we keep it from totally stressing us out? And you can't see my notes, but I have 5 question marks there. How do we keep it from totally stressing us out? Well, let's look at verse 2 of Psalm 23. This is what it says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The second solution to overcoming stress in our lives, we need to obey God's command to rest. We need to obey God's command to rest. Now some of us go, rest? What's that? What are you talking about? What's rest, right? So much of the stress in our life comes from going, from working too much and always feeling like you got to do more, right? Always feeling like you got too much to do, and it doesn't matter how much we work, it feels like we're always behind. You know, let's take a little poll in here. Let's be honest. How many of you feel like you're never, ever going to get caught up? Right? We all do. Regardless of whether it's work or home or wherever, it just seems like we're never going to get caught up. Right now, my to-do list seems to have no end, and I'm sure it's the same for many of us. And so what do we do? Well, according to David here in Psalms 23, we look to God to meet our needs, and we obey God's command to rest. You see, the reality is I could stay up all night for the next month, and I probably still wouldn't get anything done, right? I still wouldn't get all the things done that I want to have done. And on top of that, I just make myself sick and get a little bit more behind, right? When we do that, when we push ourselves, that's what ends up happening. Think about this. If God wanted to, He could have created us without the need for sleep. Oh, I bet God never thought of that. Man, if I was only around, right, when He created when He created man, oh man, He could have created us without the need for sleep. Why did He create us with the need for sleep? Do you realize that we will spend 1/3 of our lives sleeping? Think about that. We will spend 1/3 of our lives, and some of us, it might be like 2/3, I don't know, you know? But get up! It's time to get up! Anyway, sorry. I totally lost my place here, but yeah. You know, we only have so many years on this earth. You would think God would give us 100% of that time. Why is 1/3 of that time wasted on sleep? I think it's because God wants us to learn the importance of rest. You see, God felt that rest was so important that even He rested. Even He rested. He actually modeled it for us in Genesis 2, right at the beginning of Genesis 2, when He created the whole universe. In the Bible it says, on the 7th day, God, what? Rested. Now, why did God rest? Think about that. Why did God rest? It wasn't because He was tired. He's God, right?
Well, I've done a lot. I think I'm going to rest here. I'm tired.
No, God doesn't get tired. Why did He rest? It wasn't because He was tired. God doesn't get tired. He did it, I believe, for us. He was modeling for us the importance of rest in our lives. If God did it, shouldn't we? Right? He tells us every 7th day to rest. The Bible is filled with instructions about resting, about relaxing, about recreation. As a matter of fact, it's so important to God that He made it one of His 10 commandments. Right? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The Sabbath, it's supposed to be a day of rest. And if you jump forward in the New Testament in Mark 2:27, Jesus says this. The Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God said, I created this day of rest for you. It's for our benefit, not God's. He knows the toll life can take on, especially in today's world. And he's telling us we need to have a day of rest. But in today's world, we rarely do it. Why? I think the big reason we're afraid of getting farther behind, right, in this hurried pace of life. But here's the thing we have to realize. God's not asking us to rest. He's telling us to rest. This is a command. Psalm 23:2 says, He makes me lie down. Underline that phrase. He makes me lie down. Any of you gone and gone and gone until you got sick? Has God had to make you lie down? Why? Because we failed to do it on our own. God has wired our bodies in such a way that if we don't take time off, our body will make sure we take time off. That's why rest is so key to our physical transformation. If we aren't taking time to rest, the stress is going to wreak havoc with our physical health. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. My best requires rest. If I want to be at my best, I need to rest. Resting is not a waste of time. Resting is a necessity. It's rest that makes us at our best. It's rest that helps release the stress in our life. For those of you that don't know, I take Fridays off. That's my day off here at the church. And I also make it a priority to be home and eat dinner with my family at least four nights a week. I'll schedule counseling, this or that, or different things outside of that, but I have my four nights a week and I have my Fridays. That's my way of resting and coping with the day's pace of life. But it's really interesting, when I first started, when we first planted the church, I had a few people that didn't like the fact that they couldn't get a hold of me on a Friday. Where were you? I was trying to get a hold of you. I was on my day off. They also didn't like the fact that there were certain evenings when I didn't answer my phone. Can you imagine, having a cell phone and not answering it when you're around the dinner table with your family? People couldn't believe that I didn't answer my cell phone at nights when I was around the dinner table with my family. But here's the thing. I knew that in order for me to be an effective pastor, I need these times of rest. Okay? In that first year, if I didn't take that time of rest, we might not be here today, okay? Let me just say that, all right? God is good and awesome through it all, but, there are times where we go through those seasons. And I have several pastor friends that have burnt out because they failed to rest. They went and went and went and served and served. Oh, I'm serving God. I'm serving. Well, yeah, but God says to rest too. And I can tell you, I don't want to allow that to happen to me, and none of us should allow that to happen to us, because you don't just get burnt out as pastors. You get burnt out as moms. You get burnt out as businessmen. You get burnt out as construction workers, whatever you do. It's easy to get burnt out when you work too hard. We have to have times of rest. I guarantee you, whatever it is you have to do will be there when you get back. And if it isn't there, apparently you didn't need to do it anyways, all right? Yay, woo, someone took that for me, all right? I heard this funny illustration, I couldn't resist. Heard a story about a guy who said to his pastor, "Pastor, I tried to get a hold of you all day on Friday." The pastor said, "I'm sorry, that's my day off." The man said, "Well, the devil doesn't take a day off." And the pastor said, "Yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like him." Are you just like the devil? Are you mean and ornery? Take a day off. Get some rest. God modeled rest for us, and we have to take time to rest. Rest will release the stress, and it will allow us to be at our best, all right? The next big stress that we deal with today, I got to speed this up here, is decisions, okay? We face more decisions today than we ever have. And with more decisions comes what? More indecision. And with more indecision comes what? More stress in our lives. So how do we deal with indecision? Let's look at verse 3 of Psalms 23. It says this, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Solution here, we need to let God be our guide. Now maybe some of you are dealing with this right now. Maybe some of you are at that fork in the road or coming to that place where you have multiple choice. Ooh, man, that's a tough one, huh? When you have multiple choice. What? I have to choose between four? And maybe you're at that place in your life and the indecision is just causing you stress. It's causing you turmoil. My encouragement to you this morning is let God be your guide. God needs to be who we go to first in times of decision. Now, I'm not talking about what you're going to eat in the morning, you know, Captain Crunch or Fruit Loops, okay? It doesn't matter. God doesn't care, all right? He likes them both. Whatever that. But I'm talking about those decisions in our life. That's what stresses us out. Things that affect us, that affect our relationships, that affect the people around us. We get stressed out. God needs to be who we go to first in times of decision. James 1:5 says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God," listen to this, "who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." Says there, he gives generously and it will be given. God wants to give us wisdom. We just have to ask. We have to take time to pray and to seek him. And then we can't be like, "God, what do you want me to do?" "Oh, he didn't answer. Okay, I'm just going to do it myself." Because that's what happens, right? We get frustrated. We have to take time to pray and to seek him. We have to read his word and we have to be patient. But if we're patient and we trust in him and we seek him, he will answer us. Now, it's in his timing at times, right? And we all know his timing is perfect. He's never late, right? He's never early either, right? He is right on time. Don't let life's decisions stress you out. When you face those tough decisions in life, you got to give them the Lord. You got to trust in him. And then I didn't even put in here the end of James. It says, you trust in him, you give it to him, and when he answers, you take it and you go with it. Because what happens oftentimes is God tells you what to do, and we go, "I don't want to do that. That probably wasn't God." You know, and we turn back around and we try to change things up. Says we'll be tossed like the wind and the waves, and that's where that stress comes from, that indecision. We got to seek the Lord, and when we hear him, we got to go for it, and we just got to trust in him. And I believe if we do that, we're like, "Oh, I think that was God." God's going to honor that because we're seeking to hear him and we're trusting in him. There was a little bonus, and now I'm really running short on time here. Don't let life's decisions stress you out. Bring them to God. Let him guide you. The next big stress that we deal with today is what I just called life's challenges, right? The reality is we live in a fallen world, and with that comes challenges. None of us are immune to the challenge of this world. "Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm good, right? I'm good. Nothing bad can happen to me." We live in a fallen world. None of us are immune to the challenges of life, and we never know when they're going to hit. So how do we deal with them when they do? Let's look at verse 4 of Psalm 23. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The fourth solution to overcoming stress in our lives is we need to trust God through the dark valleys. We need to trust God through the dark valleys. We're all going to go through dark valleys in our lives. As a matter of fact, we're going to go through many of them throughout our lives. It's the fact that we live in a fallen world. So how do we deal with these valleys? David tells us, "Fear not." Why? Because thy rod and thy staff. He doesn't say thy though. I'm going back to when in first grade when I memorized this. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. You see, now we have to remember here, he's using the shepherd's metaphor. What does that mean? The rod and the staff, they comfort me. These are tools, two tools that the shepherd would use to protect their sheep. The rod or the staff. They would use them to ward off wolves and to ward off other predators. So these things protected the sheep. David's basically saying there's no need for us to stress out in these situations because God is our protector. He is there with us. He's with us in the valleys, and he's there to comfort us and make sure that we get out of the valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, do I trust that God is there with me, helping me, protecting me? The valley of the shadow of death, it actually kind of sounds scary, right? The valley of the shadow of death, right? It's like, ooh, creepy. If my daughter's there, I'm like, turn your eyes from the TV, honey. It's okay, turn your eyes from the TV. You know those commercials that come on, those freaky commercials. The valley of the shadow of death. The shadows, right? There's something about in the shadows. There's a darkness to it. But think about this. Wherever there's a shadow, what's there? Light, right? Wherever there's a shadow, there's light. You can't have a shadow without light shining to cast that shadow. So the key is when you're going through the valley of the shadow, we have to turn away from the shadows and what? Turn to the light. Okay, now don't follow it all the way into that room, you know, that's all white and never mind, sorry. Follow the light. I'm weird this morning. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I know. What's new? When we focus on the shadows, we're drawn away from the light, and that's when we experience stress. That's when the fear and these things begin to set in. But when we focus on the light, we experience what? We experience the comfort of the shepherd. We experience his comfort. We have to trust in God through the dark valleys, and we have to keep our eyes focused on him as we go through these challenges that we face in life. The next big stress that we deal with today, I think, is conflict and criticism, right? The fact is we are in an ever-growing world. And unfortunately, more people means what? More opportunity for conflict and criticism, okay? We know that as Christians, we're called to love people, right? And that's what we do. Everywhere we walk, we just love people, right? But the reality is that there are people out there that haven't quite grasped that yet or don't know it because they don't know the Lord. So how do we deal with those people? How do we deal with conflict and criticism in our life? Let's look at what it says in verse 5 of Psalms 23. This is what it says. David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." I think the sixth solution to overcoming stress in our lives, we need to let God be our defender. We need to let God be our defender in the midst of conflict and criticism. You know, the reality is at times in our life, we all have those people that don't like us for some reason, right? Now, I can't figure it out because I'm like one of the nicest guys I know. But I still have people that for some reason don't like me. And we all have that. You may be the nicest person, but for some reason, there's just those times, those people that whatever, they criticize you, they put you down, you know, they never have a positive thing to say, you know, whether that's at work or in your, you know, in your house, you know, I don't know, wherever that may be. I didn't mean to bring problems between husbands and wives here. Sorry about that. When we find ourselves dealing with people like this, though, oftentimes, what's our natural response? Our natural response is that we want to fire back, right? We want to come back with those same kind of responses. But here's the thing we have to realize. When we get even with people, it just brings us down to that level that they're at. But if we can learn to walk in grace and forgiveness, it actually raises us above them. And that's God's desire for us. You see, when people talk bad about other people and put other people down, all they're doing is revealing the character of their heart. And that's not what I want to do. I don't want to come to that level where I'm being that to others. So the question is, how do we deal with the stress of conflict and criticism? And the reality is we let go and let God. That's the reality. We have to let God be our defender. David was a pro at this, okay? David knew what it meant to be attacked, not just emotionally, not just verbally, but even physically. David was attacked numerously. If any of you are familiar with the story of David, you know that he was anointed as a young man by Samuel to be king, right? But he didn't take the throne right away. As a matter of fact, he spent years dealing with the previous king, right? King Saul. And he had to hide out in caves for fear of his life. He was constantly criticized and had to deal with all kinds of false rumors and things that were said about him. But through it all, you know, David could have just fired back at Saul. He could have said all sorts of things about Saul. He knew Saul, right? He served in the house of Saul. He knew all the bad things about Saul. But he didn't. Through it all, he never said a bad word against the king. He never fought back. You see, God was preparing David to be the king after his own heart. You see, God didn't want David to stoop to the level of Saul. He wanted him to rise above. So when David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows," what David is saying here is that God is going to lift him up so that even his enemies see his goodness. His enemies will see the blessing that God is going to pour out upon him. David was trusting God to be his defender. David didn't fight back. He let God fight back for him. He knew God would take care of him. And we have to realize that in the midst of criticism and conflict, we have to trust in the Lord. I learned this early in ministry. Man, one of my early years of taking kids to camp, we had a horrible situation where things were said that weren't even true about happening. Even said about my wife and with one of the kids there and stuff. And it was just one of these things. It's like, and I could have gone back and I could have looked up all the documentation. I could have been like, "In your face, we didn't say anything." You know, I wanted to do that. And my pastor just said, "Darren, walk in grace and forgiveness." And it was the hardest thing for me. I'm just sitting there going, "I want to," you know, and I would see them and I could just see the looks that they gave me, thinking I was this horrible youth pastor, thinking, you know, we don't know what we're doing. And it's just like, "Okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust in you." And I'm glad I learned that lesson early on, because it's helped me even later on in my ministry at times to realize I don't have to defend myself. God will defend me. In this world, we're going to experience conflict and criticism, and we have to be willing to take the high road. We have to hold our tongues and let God be our defender. And I can tell you from experience that how you respond will play a big part when it comes to dealing with the stress of conflict and criticism. In times where I fought back, it's caused the stress to build. In times where I was just quiet and gave it to the Lord. Yeah, you experience some stress in there, because nobody likes to have things said bad about them. But then you experience the peace of the Lord, and you're able to overcome those stresses in your life. Let God be your defender. Don't fall into the trap of the world. Don't get sucked into more stress. The final stress that I think we deal with today, and we're going to end with here, is we stress about our future. We stress about our future. We stress about what tomorrow may bring. But I want to finish things out by looking at the last verse of Psalm 23, the final verse, verse 6, it says this: "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, I don't know, growing up, I didn't know who Shirley was, but now I understand what it's saying here. The sixth and final solution to overcoming stress in our lives is this: is We need to let God finish his work in us. We need to let God finish his work in us. Are you someone who's afraid of the future, right? Worrying about what if this, what if that? Here's the thing, worrying about the future will only lead to more stress in your life and unnecessary stress. You see, the reality is when we look at our future, we really have two options. We can go through life thinking about all the what ifs. What is tomorrow going to bring? What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, we can go through life living like that and allowing the stress to build up. Or we can go through life believing that goodness and love is going to follow us all the days of our life and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want the second one. I don't know about you. That's what I want. We have to let God finish the work he began in us. We can't let anxiety and stress be the decision that we choose. I realize in this, it really comes down to a matter of perspective. It's interesting how just a change in perspective can change your attitude, which can take you from either being full of stress or no stress. It's a matter of perspective. Are we going to take the world's perspective? Or are we going to take God's perspective? We have to choose. Are we going to let stress master us? Or are we going to master stress? 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul says this, I will not be mastered by anything. I will not be mastered by anything. And I think a lot of times we've allowed ourselves to be mastered by stress in our lives, these things in our lives. God's desire is that we would not let any of these things master us. We have to choose not to allow these things to bring stress into our lives. And I know it's like, well, is it that easy? Well, no. But if we choose God, and we keep choosing God, and we keep choosing God every morning when we get up, it's going to get easier. And it's going to get easier. And we're going to experience the peace of God instead of the stress of this world. Look to God to meet your needs. Obey God's command and rest. His command to rest. Let God guide you. Trust God through the dark valleys. Let God be your defender and let God finish his work in you. If we can learn to do these things, we're going to live lives without. So we're going to overcome the stress in our lives and we're going to experience the physical health that he wants us to have. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for just this series that you're walking us through, the fact that, Lord, you want us to be transformed in all the areas of our life, Lord. Spiritually, as we talked about last week, and even physically, as we talked about this week, Lord. And I just pray that you would just challenge us in this message. I know I shared a lot. I put a lot out there today and talked fast, Lord. But allow those things to penetrate our hearts that need to penetrate us as individuals, Lord. And even if it's the things I didn't talk about, if it's exercising, if it's thinking about what we put in our bodies, if it's dealing with these stresses that cause physical issues, whatever it may be, Lord, we want to be people who are transformed in our physical health, in our physical lives, Lord. And so we pray that you would help us to grow in these things. Challenge us, Lord. Help us to walk out of this place not going, oh, that was a great message, some good things, but Lord, to realize these are things that we need to change in us and to focus on how do we change them, Lord. We thank you for your word. Just pray your blessing upon each of our lives as we go throughout this week, Lord. Be with us. Help us to be people who are spiritually and physically healthy, that we may be the lights that shine bright for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.